Well, good morning, everyone. I see we still have a collection of people downstairs getting ready for everything. And I know my girls are very excited for the tea today, and I hope you are as well. And me and Sean will be going home and eating pasta because that's what I know how to cook. So you can pray for us this morning. How many of you have been caffeinated? Anybody has been caffeinated this morning? The extra hour, kind of, you feel a little more this morning, but you'll be ready for next week, right? Right. Okay, well, I'm expecting something like that this morning, so I don't feel too badly. So let's get right into it, shall we? Last week, due to our subject matter and the intensity of our subject matter, I asked you parents to seriously consider having your children attend children's church. This week, I'm going to ask just the opposite. Today is going to be somewhat brief, but I'm going to dismiss all the nursery age kids. So anybody that goes down to nursery, you can be dismissed at this point. We thank Miss Leanne for helping us out with that. And so that's happening today. But we're going to ask that the other children, the other kids, I'm going to ask you to stay up here today for a thought. Just a thought today. Again, I'm not going to keep you too late today. But I want to share this with the children as well. And guess what, kids? For all those who pay attention, I have candy. Well, you know, parents, I think I have enough for parents. I'm also going to ask three specific questions today. And if you answer those questions, you get bigger candy and a Dunkin' Donuts gift card. So I got some stuff here. You want to play too, Kathy? Well, you are a child of the Lord, aren't you? So, but you got to pay attention. It can't just be guesses. Like, it's not Sunday school where every answer is Jesus, okay? So kids and even youth, pay attention. And let's see if you can grab something, maybe learn something. Amen? Amen. All right, who wants to turn to me to 2 Chronicles? Chapter 34. We're going to take a small break from Colossians just for this week. We'll be finishing up Colossians the next week or two after this. But everyone turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We'll be starting in verse 1. And when you get there, you may stand for the reading of God's Word. 1-3a. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. The word of the Lord today, you may be seated. Let's start off with a short story, shall we? About 15 years ago, I had a pastor friend of mine, and a man I greatly respect, pastor friend of mine, and he was teaching I'm not sure if it was a children's church or a Sunday school class. I just know the class had very young children, maybe ages 5 to 7-ish, right there. And so he was teaching this class, and I'm going to use different names for the kids today. So he began the class as normal. He opened up with a word of prayer. He had the kids sit. And as he was just about to teach, one of the little girls in the group shot up her hand. And she said, Pastor. And of course, my friend said, yes. She said, we should pray for Tommy. And, you know, they had just prayed. And my pastor friend said, well, we'll pray for Tommy at the end of the service when we close. Right now, we're going to do the lesson. So thank you. And he moved on to the lesson. But about a minute later, another child shot his hand up and said, Pastor, I think we need to tell Tommy that everything is going to be okay. And so my friend looks at the child, and he looks over at Tommy. Now, you got to understand, Tommy is one of the younger ones. He's quiet. He doesn't say a lot. He's sort of new. And so he's just kind of this deer in the headlights thing going on. Like, why am I getting singled out here? And so he looks at the boy, and he looks at Tommy, and he says, Tommy, is everything okay? And of course, he's a quiet kid, so he's not saying anything. And they waited that awkward few moments. Then the first little girl who shot up her hand spoke up again and said, I think God wants Tommy to know that he loves you and that your mommy is going to be okay. Now, at this point, my pastor friend finally caught wind about what was happening. He realized what was going on, that God was doing something special in that moment. He was reassuring this little boy, whose mom, by the way, was quite ill, though he hadn't told anybody, that God was comforting this little boy through what can only be described as words of encouragement and words of knowledge through the other children in the class. Think about that for a minute. That God was using the other children to encourage Tommy. The pastor friend of mine, Pastor Stanley, told me later that his mother made a full recovery. But what was so wonderful about the event was that God didn't choose to use the pastor. God didn't choose to use the teacher in those circumstances. He chose to use the 5, 6, and 7-year-old kids in that class. I think that's great. I think it's great that he wanted to encourage this little boy, and he ended up really encouraging this pastor. He allowed this magnificent support to come through the other children, showing that God shows no partiality. Acts 10:34. God doesn't care how old you are. God doesn't care about those kind of things. God loves you and will use you no matter what age you are. Any person can be a vessel of God's love and grace and gifts and purpose. In this case, it was true of several young children. Now, I'm going to read part of the story of King Josiah today. Josiah was a wise and a godly king from the Old Testament. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles 34 and 35 today. The story can also be found, this is just for reference, don't turn there, in Kings chapters 22 and 23. But before I go on, with a hand raised up, I have the first special prize for one of our kids. And you can grab it after service. You got to put your hand down. You don't know what the question is yet. But the question is, how old was King Josiah when he became king? And Becca.
8.
He was 8. Becca, retrieve your prize at the end of service, my friend. We get a little. Good job. 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 to 3, again read. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he walked in the ways of David, his father. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, from here, we're going to be given dates based on when he began to reign. So every date you're given, you have to add 8 to it to find out what his age is. So we go to verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, so he'd be how old? 16. Good try. That's not one of the questions, though. We can all do math here. At 16, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek God, the God of David, his father. And in his 12th year at 20, yep, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places of Asherim, and the carved and metal images. And the text goes on in great detail here that he began to remove from Israel and from Judah all the pagan idolatry and all the practices that we're not going to get into today because kids are up here that go with it. between the ages of 8 and 16, God was doing something in this boy's heart and trusting him with a lot of responsibility. And I think that's really interesting too. He's not just giving Josiah things to do. He just didn't give the kids in that classroom things to do. He's actually giving them responsibility. They have a choice when given these gifts, what they will do with these gifts. And these kids, whether it's Josiah or those 5 to 7-year-olds, were choosing to honor God. Now, let's continue on here. If you go back a chapter, you're going to find out that Josiah's father was not a good guy, and he was not a good king. And that his grandfather was actually the worst king that they ever had. I mean, it takes a lot to be worse than like Ahab, right? He was the worst king, a guy named Manasseh, just awful. But God was able to make a better, wiser, and godlier king out of this 8-year-old because he was teachable. And he sought after the things of God. That's all it took. That's all it took. And by 16, he was doing some great things. We'll jump down to verse 8. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, so he's getting old. He's only 26 now. He's getting older. Still young, though. When he cleansed the land and the house, he sent for Shaphan, the governor of the city, and Joah, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Verse 14. And while they were bringing out the money they had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. In 18, then the secretary told the king, Hilkiah, the priest has given me the book. And Shaphan read from it before the king, and the king heard the words of the law and tore his clothes. Kind of a crazy thing to do, right? Tore his clothes. We'll get to that in a minute. And yes, I skipped a few names. That was for all of our benefit here. All right? But what is important is the strange reaction, at least what we think of as the strange reaction. The king, he tore his clothes because he discovered after reading the law just how far the nation had fallen away from God, from the will and the ways of God. And he was distraught. He couldn't believe how bad things have gotten. At 26, now I wish all 26-year-olds were like this, right? At 26, he was imperfect, as we all are, but his heart had grown so close to God that he was touched and he was moved for repentance for his nation that he was supposed to serve, that he was supposed to lead. And back then, the way you showed repentance, the way you showed sadness, the way you repented, meaning turning from evil, was to tear your clothes, was to rip these things, showing that it was affecting you deeply and profoundly. And if you keep reading, you find that he had the law, which was probably the book of Deuteronomy, read before all the people. He wasn't content himself repenting and saying, look how serious I am, God. I've torn my clothes. He wanted the whole nation to come to understand God the way he had come to understand God. He wanted the nation to turn back to the Lord. And he said, take that book and have it read to everybody. Get Jerusalem packed out. Read this law aloud. Make sure everybody knows what the will of God is, that we're going to turn back to him. And so in verse 31, the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and all of his soul and to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin join in it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel. And he made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God all his days. They did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. And Josiah kept the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. And they slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the month. And lastly, verse 16. So all the service of the Lord was prepared that day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord, according to the command of Josiah. And the people of Israel who were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. No Passover like it had been kept in Israel since the days of Samuel the prophet. None of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover as was kept by Josiah. And I love this because not only does Josiah turn to the Lord, not only is he eager to tell people about the Lord, he's also not going to do this half-heartedly. He's also not going to be like, hey, we're going to turn to the Lord like 50%. Like 75%. We're going to turn our hearts to the Lord 90%. No. He gets rid of all the abominations. He says, we're going to keep Passover like they've never kept Passover before. We are going to keep Passover, not because we have to, but because we want to. We are excited about the things of the Lord. Which leads to our second prize today, which we are also excited about. Right? Right? Mom and Dad, you could steal that Dunkin' Donuts gift card maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that would kind of violate the spirit of this thing, but the question today, ready your hands, is which feast of celebration did Josiah have the people keep when they began to honor the Lord? Passover. Oh, you can't. I can't call on you now. I can't call on you right. Passover. Oh, good job. You gotta wait till you're called on, buddy. But I gotta call. We'll talk after. All right. It's always the pastor's kid, right? It's always the pastor's kid. So here's the thing, guys. Between the ages of 8 and 26, Josiah did more good in those 18 years than the 50 or so years that his father and grandfather reigned. Right? You get these guys been on the throne forever, they do a terrible job. You put this 8-year-old on the throne, and he's doing more good, more things for God, more faithful to God than his father or grandfather had ever done. Those 18 years. And so I walked away from this story with a couple thoughts and a couple takeaways about this man, about this Josiah, that I want to share with you. The first thing should be clear to everyone, right? Age is not a factor in God's calling. Amen. Say it again. Amen. Age is not a factor in God's calling. And this goes both ways. Moses was 80 years old when he began his ministry. All right? Who's ready? Who's pushing 80 and ready to lead 3 million people, 2 million people into the promised land? Nope. Sean's ready. You'll get candy, don't worry, I promise. You live with me, right? God doesn't care if you're 80 years old, 90 years old, 100 years old. God can use you any age. Now, on the other hand, John the Baptist was called from in the womb. In the womb. He's not even out of the womb yet. Right? For God doesn't care about your age. God cares about the heart. Right? God cares about your willingness to trust him. Not about the age. He can equip anyone at any age. And God desires you and desires that you follow him and minister. Not until you're 65 or 70. You go, I'm done. Right? Obviously, maybe your ministry changes at that point. But whether you're 65 or 70, you're not going to retire. God's still going to use you. And you don't have to wait for 18 or 22. God has a purpose and a calling and giftings for you to operate in and bless others with at any age. I like an amen for that. Amen. Thank you. Right? Now, are there limitations? Somebody says, there are limitations. Of course there are limitations. We are not going to send a 10-year-old out on bus ministry next week, right? Right? That'd kind of be illegal. So there are, of course, limitations. Ministry changes over time. But you know what? I take a teachable, dependable, honest 10-year-old out to do anything over somebody that looks the part and is neither teachable nor dependable nor honest. I would take a 95-year-old who has committed their life to Christ any day and see what good things and good gifts God has for the 10-year-old or the 90-year-old over someone, again, who looks the part but is not teachable or dependable or honest any day. We count ourselves short. We sell ourselves short. And when we count ourselves too old or too young to make a difference in God's family. If we are teachable and we prove our consistency, we prove God's trustworthiness and our trustworthiness to Him, God can do anything through us. We have to believe that, though. We have to trust that, though. Get that?
Amen.
Number two. This goes along with the first. I didn't touch too deeply on Josiah's father and Josiah's grandfather, but Ammon was pretty rotten and Manasseh was the worst. It's just the worst. And you can read the details in the previous chapter. But the second thing you need to understand is that family history is simply that. It's history. Let me say that again. Family history is just history. Josiah is maybe even more exceptional because of how rotten his family was and because he had to overcome that. Right? God doesn't care about your family history. He doesn't care about that. He loves you, and He wants to use you right where you're at. And just like your age, you don't need to be defined by what your family has done or has not done. And by the way, it cuts both ways, right? You can have the best, most dedicated, most honorable and faithful parents and grandparents in the world who love Jesus and love the family of God, but it's their relationship, not your relationship, right? Good or bad, your families are not you. And God can use you no matter what your history is, if you trust Him. And I realize there's a third group here too, right? There's some families that looked one way in public and then looked a whole different way behind the scenes, a mess behind closed doors. And our view of God and the church can get really skewed by kind of the mess behind the scenes. But just because your family said and did things and said, this is of God and that's of God, that also does not make it so. And again, that might be part of our family histories, but these things don't need to define us. They don't need to define your relationship with God. Again, that is your history. The question is, what is God going to make of your present and future? So number one, God doesn't care about your age. He can use you no matter what age. Number two, God doesn't care about your family history. He can use you if you came from the best family or if you came from something else. All right? Number three, third thing, final thing to take away from the story. God's looking for you to trust Him, to correct you as you travel this life. I'll say it again. God is looking for you to trust Him as He corrects you when you travel through this life. You are not going to do everything perfectly. I know that's shocking to some of us, right? I know at a certain age, I knew everything. Not even close. There are going to be mistakes. There are going to be bumps along the way. Josiah didn't realize how messed up the nation was that he was running until he was doing repairs to the temple and found the book of Deuteronomy, and goes, oh my goodness, we are so far from the heart of God. What that tells me is Josiah had the heart of God, he was seeking God, but he had a big flaw in his life. He wasn't in the Word, was he? But he missed stuff because he wasn't in the Word. Now, did God not use him because of that? Oh no, God of course used him. But God also brought correction and brought to his attention the fact that, hey, your heart is after me, but you're missing the spiritual discipline. You need to get on board with this book of Deuteronomy, right? He was able to be teachable. He was able to be corrected. And this flaw was able to be worked out in him. Because he had a heart that God could work with. And when he had found he had missed something, he didn't dig in his heels. He trusted God's correction. You know, when you've dug yourself a hole, what's the first thing you need to stop doing? Digging, right? You're not going to dig yourself out. You stop digging and then you ask for help. That's what God wants us to do. When we make a mistake, stop digging the hole, stop trying to fix yourself. God, I need you. Final question of the day. Give me two of the three things I learned and I hope you learned about Josiah. Let Noah have a shot. We'll come back to Noah. All right. A good try, though. Right? Can't do the same hand again. Sean, give me one. Alex, give me the other. Alex, what was that, honey? It doesn't matter what age you are. Can you give me one more? Nobody. We already had that question. Excellent. Good job. Good job. We forgot to clap for Mr. Brink over there, but that's okay. I love Josiah because Josiah is one of the few people that gets almost everything right, but not through some prideful ways, but through some very humble ways. He's a young kid. He's got a bad family background. He makes mistakes, but he always trusts God. What I want to leave everybody here with today is this fact. Maybe you know this all this stuff for yourself. Make sure you know this for each other, that when you look at the kids in the church, and kids, when you look at the adults in the church, that we're not prejudging them. That, hey, they're going to make mistakes along the way. They might not be ready for everything, but that there's a new generation coming up. And by the way, the old generation hasn't gone away. And that there could be love and respect for both of them. And a building of trust. And a building of community based on saying, you have gifts, I have gifts, they have gifts. And if we do this thing right, if we trust in the Lord the right way, that everyone can use their gifts. Everybody can be vessels of God's grace, no matter where they're from, no matter how old they are. As long as they're teachable along the way. Amen. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. I thank you, Lord, for all ages. And I thank you, Lord, for all backgrounds. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't let these things keep us from what you have for us to do and to be. And we thank you, Lord. Help us to take this reminder to heart. Help us to walk in your ways this week. Help us, Lord, where we need help. And we thank you. And Lord, as you've taught us to pray, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.